This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Shaoning, and joining me in the studio today is Philip C.
Good morning.
Good morning, right? And it's Wednesday, which means it's halfway through the week already.
What's your plan this weekend?
I don't know, because as we know, Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri announced yesterday, we can do inter-district travel.
But not interstate.
Yes. So sorry guys, no chuti-chuti Malaysia yet. We pray soon. So you can't run off to Malacca, you can't run off to Penang, you can't run off to Langkawi.
But chuti-chuti Klang Valley can.
Yeah, chuti-chuti Klang Valley can. So for those who maybe want to go for a bit of a drive, that is possible.
Yeah.
So why not take some time off and go for that little spin?
I'm going to go wild. I'm going to clang.
Okay.
Have a nice bak kut teh. And I think this apple strudel place, I heard it's quite good.
Yeah. Klang has some classic food. If you're from Klang, I'm sure you have other suggestions. Do let us know. You can Twitter us at BFM Radio, or you can even WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 in terms of telling Philip and I some Klang food suggestions. But in the meantime, what do we have, Philip, Wednesday morning?
We're going to talk about a war brewing between Gen Zs and millennials.
Okay, so a war that hopefully nobody dies.
I don't think so. Only egos will die, I suspect.
Ego and a war of words, maybe.
Perhaps. Egos, okay. Lie, I think.
And I've got a slightly sadder story about how loneliness has kind of, I think, affected all of us during this COVID-19 pandemic, and probably made worse for some people, if anything, because, you know, all of us, I think, in some form of movement control or lockdown. But as usual, do let us know what you think about any of these stories that we're going to be talking about. You can Twitter in at BFM Radio, that's our handle, or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We'll have more for you in a few minutes, but to take us there is Flashlight by Parliament. Keep it here, BFM 89.9. That was the uber cool Flashlight by Parliament, and hopefully that has woken you up this morning. It's Wednesday, the 3rd of March, and it's just gone past 6:08 in the morning.
Johnny, what's a Parliament?
Something that's being suspended in Malaysia for the moment.
I see.
Yes.
Got it.
Hopefully we will get it soon. Hopefully it will start soon.
All right. Educate me next time what it is, yeah?
Yes. Yes, maybe we need a bit of a history lesson on what it is and the importance of it.
Thank you.
Good one, Philip. But of course, in front of us, we're having a little bit of a bit of soul searching this morning about the impact of COVID-19 and how it has affected mental health. Well, and for some people, clearly it has impacted them far more than we would like to acknowledge or we should actually recognize. And this is an article in the Singapore Straits Times, and it highlights that Japan has appointed a minister of loneliness amid a rise in suicides. So apparently, as I think we do know, because of COVID-19, there's been an increase in isolation because a lot of people are forced to be on their own. Maybe because they've already lived on their own for the longest time before COVID-19. And because of the different stages of lockdown, they were left alone and not much communication. Mm. So you weren't even encouraged to leave the house, right? And let's face it, okay, yeah, you can go online, you can do Microsoft Teams, you can do Zoom Meets, you can do Google Meets, you can even pick up the old-fashioned phone, but it's just not the same. And the other worrying thing is that people also find it hard to kind of keep in touch with you, you know, and check in on you whether you're all right. And I think we are also, to be fair, like even myself, we were all a bit wrapped up in our own little world. So for the vulnerable out there, were they left alone, sadly? And then the loneliness really got to them.
I remember when we got into COVID and lockdown, my first thinking was about myself. How did I feel? What my emotions were? I wasn't outward looking, very inward and interior in my thought process. So I can imagine, and I'm relatively in a good state with a loving family, and I was struggling with, you know, my connections, my relationships. So I can imagine if, you know, amplifying this to the whole society, and that's why governments are really taking it very seriously. So with Japan's appointment of this Minister of Loneliness, it's not the first country, you know. Actually, the UK had appointed a loneliness minister 3 years ago.
Okay, so that's interesting.
So loneliness isn't necessary. I think loneliness was accelerated. This whole issue of loneliness has been amplified as a result of COVID, but it's always been there even pre-COVID. So I think people have been doing a conversation about it. And especially in Japan, where you see suicide rates really rocket in this period, right? Where it's actually risen 3.7% during this pandemic. And if you know Japan, they have a lot of really interesting terms. They have a suicide forest there called Aokigahara, where actually people go and commit suicide. There are really popular terms that you see in Japan. For example, let me just scroll.
Hikomori is one, right?
Yeah, which is, yes, correct.
Acute reclusiveness, typical of people who are unemployed and shun social interaction.
And kodokushi, dying alone, a growing problem with the rise in single households.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing with this suicide rate is that it's particularly impacting women and youth.
I think this issue is not only just Japan's. I think it's a global one. And I would also like us to refer to this interesting piece by IDEAS, which is the think tank, the Institute of Democracy and Economic Affairs. And it's interesting in the sense that it highlights that in Malaysia, suicide is the leading cause of death among young people. Now, the economic cost, that's one thing. Economic cost is estimated to be 346 million ringgit in 2019. But there's also the human cost. And I think one thing that shocks me, or I would like to see change in this country, is that suicide still remains a criminal act in Malaysia under Section 309 of the Penal Code. And the reason why for me, and even IDEAS says that we should remove this act, is because criminalization of society actually reduces help-seeking behavior. So it doesn't allow or discourages people from seeking, to come out and acknowledge they have issues and also kind of seek help as soon as possible, because we make it behavior or we make it seem as if it's a very bad thing. How can you have thoughts like this? What's wrong with you? Rather than have a very open mind about it and be solution driven.
And there's so many, I think there are outlets like Befrienders and forums where you can reach out for help. But this is the challenge where especially this issue of suicide is particularly impacting youth. I wonder if the issue here is that the youth feel that their problems are so unique to them, it's very hard to reach out. And it's hard for people like us to kind of tell people to buck up, you know.
Feel better. What's
feel
wrong
better,
with you?
Just I mean, get
it's
your
easy
act together,
to say that, right? But
I don't think
those,
it's that easy.
No, and those suggestions are actually, if you ask me, redundant.
Counter.
So for anyone out there, if you are feeling lonely, if you are feeling depressed, if you're feeling stressed and you feel a weight on your mental health, please seek some professional help. Befrienders is available. There are many other agencies that can help you, like Relate, or even start speaking to someone close to you.
Right.
Make that first step. I think that's critical.
And I just want to say, for those of you who know people that you feel are a bit lonely, why don't you reach out to them as well? Take the first step and just say, hey, how are you doing? Are you okay?
Yeah, I think that's a very useful piece of advice. And like I say, Befrienders is open 24 hours. Maybe they're the first port of call. Their telephone number is 7627-2929. They are a friendly voice if you need any help. But as usual, let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we'll have some messages, but keep it here, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, and that was Friday on My Mind by the Easy Beats. It's just gone past 6:19 in the morning. It's Wednesday, 3rd of March, and you're listening to The Morning One with Philip C and Wong Xiaoning. Now, in front of me, it's about a war, but it's a friendly war. No blood, nothing, just maybe a war of words.
I think it's vicious. I think it's a vicious war
I think it's just
words.
A vicious war of words with some ego thrown in, some words thrown in, but no bloodshed. I think maybe a bit of tears. But nobody really gets injured except in the ego department. And it's actually based on an article in The Guardian, and it's entitled, "The Culture War Between Generation Z and Millennials is On. The First Battle, Side Partings." And when you read it, it's an opinion piece, actually. It's quite funny. I think it's written with a lot of humor.
It's written by a Gen X.
Gen X.
Observing the war between the...
Is she a Gen X? I thought she said she is a...
She's an elderly millennial.
Isn't that what you are?
Okay. I am.
All right. Before we start discussing it, Philip, why don't we remind ourselves who is what
okay.
and... Okay, so... I am...
You are Gen X because you were born between 1965 and 1980.
I will kill you later because now everybody knows how old I am.
Yeah, too bad. You're late 40s, too bad, right?
No, I'm... Late 40s and proud.
Yeah. And then your parents were baby boomers. Okay. Right? I'm a borderline Gen X, Gen Y, because I was born 1980, so figure my age, right? So Gen Y equals millennials. But even within millennials, okay, the Gen Y, there's Gen Y 1 and Gen Y 2.
Okay.
So Gen Y is born between 1980 to 1984. Okay. Right? After that, you got Gen Z, which is born between 1997 and 2012. What's after that?
Sorry, 2012. I cannot even imagine people.
Like, you were born last century, shouting. Remember that.
So that's it. You know, okay, I find it still fascinating and I feel a kindred spirit when I meet people who have old IC numbers. Some people like, Apatu, what is the old IC number? You know, it starts with an alphabet, like an A, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And there are still some of us out there, and there are plenty who don't have it. So I'm like, ayo, you know, that's a different generation.
I know it is. And you know what's after Gen Z, or what they call Zoomers? Gen Zs are called Zoomers.
Okay.
It's Gen Alpha.
All right.
So you're like 3-4 generations behind.
I'm like, I'm in front. Hello, not behind. I'm in front. Let's not
see. That's how you look at it.
Yeah, that's how you look at it. But I think this article highlights that with every generation, right, with, you know, it's basically almost 10, 15 years before you, when you categorize a generation, what it is that there will always be some friction in terms of a worldview, opinions, culture. You know, I think that's normal.
It's normal, and we should make light of it.
Yes, and I think we should embrace these cultural
differences
or generational differences.
So this article talks about fashion, and they highlight and contrast between Gen Zs and millennials.
Okay.
Millennials tend to do more figure hugging, skinny jeans, and all that, and their icon is like a Taylor Swift type of icon, right?
Okay.
Whereas the Gen Zs are more baggy,
so like flowing, Billie Eilish.
Okay. It's a classic role model for that.
See, I'm quite happening, I know.
I know. Yeah, I was like looking at it. It's like,
I love Billie Eilish. I think she's a fantastic songwriter and singer.
Yes.
For her age, I don't know where she gets all her lyric ideas from. It's amazing. It's like she's like a baby boomer. She's lived all her pain in the lyrics. But anyway, you're right. So when it comes to fashion, every generation is different and every generation will look down. I will say, I use the word look down at disdain. And they're like, what are they wearing? Your parents probably said the same thing about you, if you ask me.
Why so baggy one?
Yeah, why so baggy? Why you hide your body shape? But to me, I'm cool about it because I think every generation, everyone has their own ideas on what is happening and what is not happening.
Yeah.
And why not? In fact, we can learn from each generation. Like if you work in BFM, there is every generation here, okay? We have I think we got a few baby boomers. Let's not name them and shame them. Malik. But jokes aside, we have others. Of course, they are like my generation in the 40s. And then, of course, we've got plenty of millennials. And now, all the fresh faces of the Gen Zs. I haven't seen any alphas yet. Maybe the interns.
Not yet, I hope.
Maybe the interns eventually, okay? Some of the interns are so young, it's scary. But I think that makes a place vibrant.
Absolutely.
Okay? And that confluence of ideas, thoughts, you know, just worldview makes it interesting because otherwise, right, we're in our little echo chamber all the time. What fun would that be?
And absolutely.
And we won't be able to learn from each other, right?
Tell you a joke. So yesterday we were having a conversation and this millennial was saying to me, oh, I miss those days. I miss those 20s, the roaring 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you and I were looking and it's like, 1920s?
Is he talking about the Depression era? That was the first thing I was thinking, you know. And he was referring to?
Last year.
Like you say, everything is relative, isn't it? But I think what the other thing that, you know, makes me laugh when I read this article is that I'm wondering what will then happen between the Alpha generation and Gen Zs. What will their war be?
I think it'll be the same war. It's just different. It'll be about fashion, culture, how I approach life. You know, and I think it'll be the same kind of language because we had bell bottoms like two decades ago. So it's going to just transport itself and continue on, right?
Yeah, but I think if anything, don't you think that the use of technology or the way of life or how we have lived our lives has evolved very quickly?
I think so.
Because if I look back at my childhood, it seemed like the 70s were very slow. The 80s, we moved along very slowly. Then the 90s came, and then we embraced internet, and then we embraced technology, and then everything just changed super duper fast. So will the Alpha generation and Generation Z also go through those super fast changes?
I think so. And I think just to bring a point about COVID, right? Gen Zs are going into the workplace where they actually have not been used to a physical co-location, whereas millennials are struggling to move from what they used to know as a multiple kind of environment to now pure digital. They'll be challenging for them.
Yeah. So let us know what you think. Are you what generation are you? And do you think that the war of the generations will continue? WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, the news bulletin. And to take us there is Ready to Start by Arcade Fire. Keep it here, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, and that was Talk Shows on Mute by Incubus. And I certainly hope we are not on mute at this moment. It has just gone past six.
What is our song choice saying about both of us? Can they both shut up?
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's what our producer is telling us. But anyway, it's just gone past 6:41 in the morning. It's Wednesday, the 3rd of March. And before we get into some international headlines, we've got a WhatsApp from KY Ho, which has brought up a very valid point. And that he says, fashion war, or she says, fashion war between generations is nothing compared to tensions stemming from different generational value sets. Mm-hmm. The classic traditional versus modern conflict has happened. And the real truth will continue to happen.
Absolutely. You know, the definition of traditional and modern will keep on evolving.
Yeah.
What we think is modern now will be traditional in 20, 30 years' time, or even 5 years' time.
Exactly. They were like, hey, dude, this is old stuff, right? That's some.
WhatsApp. That was like last century.
Now it's what? Telegram, Clubhouse. Things move so fast, I can't even keep up. But in the meantime, we've got lots of interesting stories coming out of China. Now, a recent modeling study by the Chinese and American academics suggest that the COVID-19 pandemic could cost China over $400 billion this year, which is around 2.7% of GDP. Now, I would think everybody's paying a price with COVID-19, right? So is 2.7% of GDP that big a price?
Yeah, so I mean, just some baseline, right? This is incremental lost opportunity because China is still projected to grow at about 8% this year. So this is, I think, lost opportunity as a result of the pandemic, right?
Yeah, so I think nonetheless, I think everybody's very forward-looking. So the reality is that I think the researchers have said that China's economy could grow by as much as 8.1% this year, which is similar to forecast by the World Bank and IMF. But at the end of the day, this also is due to a low base effect. Mm. Now, what's interesting is in terms of which sectors are likely to bear the brunt of the impact, and that was those that were mostly related to the global economy. And I'm referring to the sectors in China. So they were like coal, ore, metal, electricity, gas, and food producers, surprisingly, saw the value of their output fall by as much as between 2.8% to 5.4%. Now, meanwhile, even though, you know, the market's pretty happy with the 8.1% GDP growth for 2021, it's not all bubbly in China's economy because their top banking regulator said he is very worried about risks emerging from bubbles in the global financial market and the nation's property sector.
Yeah, so Guo Shuqing, chairman of the China Banking and Insurance Regulatory Commission, expressed concern that actually rallies in the US and EU markets were heading in the opposite direction of their underlying economies and would therefore face corrections sooner or later.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, yes, there is a divergence clearly globally between Main Street and Wall Street. I mean, earlier on in March when markets fell, it did seem like, okay, both were
some
on
alignment.
Yeah, but from March onwards until now, it doesn't make quite a lot of sense, right? Because unemployment is still high, let's say in Malaysia, 4.5%, although it probably feels much higher than that. Our stock markets seem to have done okay.
Relatively stable, right?
Yeah.
Driven by selective counters.
Of course, it's driven by healthcare, which is now not doing so well. Hence, that's why our performance is negative on a year-to-date basis. But there's still this sense of this K-shaped recovery. So certain clear winners and certain clear losers. And I think we are going to see this going to be a worry, I think, for a lot of central bankers and policymakers out there. Now, he also raised concerns about China's property market because it has become huge, with too many people buying homes for investments or speculative purposes, which is very dangerous. I think not too long ago, we were even talking about it, right, where people were getting divorced.
Yeah,
so that they could buy a property.
A second property, right?
And yeah.
This has repercussions in China's overseas play with real estate. And Malaysia was one of the recipients of China investments for real estate, right? And we talk about this whole concept of ghost towns.
Yeah, build it and they will come, but nobody came.
Nobody came. You know, last week especially, there was so much jitters in the markets, right? So, you know, the point you brought, March, do you see that realignment happening again? It's a big question.
Who knows? You never know. But just one very quick fun fact. China surpassed the United States last year to become the first country with more than 1,000 billionaires. And we're talking US dollars. So it's clearly the rise of the Chinese economy, with some people saying it will surpass the US probably in the next
2027. I heard. Yeah.
Who knows? We will, however, be watching this space very closely. So give us your thoughts. You can WhatsApp us on 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, the front pages of our newspapers and online portals. Don't go away. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, and that was Human by The Pretenders. It has just gone past 6:50 in the morning, and of course you're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. Well, we're taking a look at the front pages of our newspapers this morning. So what tickles your fancy at this moment, Philip?
COVID alert, okay. Right? So just to give you a sense, yesterday Malaysia recorded 1,555 cases. That's actually the lowest daily in about 57 days, which is really good news. And it's really trending downwards. Now, there was a really interesting...
But I want to highlight our overall numbers. And I think this has escaped a lot of attention. As of March 2nd, we've had 135,000 infections, which roughly means that one in every 100 Malaysians has had or is having COVID-19. And that's quite a...
It's quite a number.
It really shows that... I'm sure by now somebody has been impacted, know somebody, or maybe a family member. And yes, I think yesterday there's a bit of a reprieve in terms of inter-district travel, relaxation of some SOPs, but we cannot keep our eye off the ball.
I want to bring the point about inter-district, interstate. So as you said just now, Xiaoning, inter-district allowed, interstate not allowed.
Yeah, I was confused, you know, last evening. I had to be reminded by one of y'all. Remind me again,
guys. What's a district, what's a state?
Yeah, because there have been many, many permutations of SOPs, right? Until honestly, and we cover this on news daily, and I am embarrassed to say I got confused.
But this is where it's not, I can understand the confusion, because they've been changing goalposts. So yesterday, Ismail Sabri, senior minister, right, for the security cluster, said that if the cases fall to two digits, for sure, MOH would advise the new proposal to allow interstate travel. So this is contrast to about a week ago, where the health DG said that you would need to get 70% to 80% vaccination rate to allow inter-district, interstate. So there's been a shifting direction and even guiding.
But he did acknowledge that MOH would have a say, right?
Yes, for sure. So MOH is saying, but you're already getting a sense as a shift in requirement.
I think it's not necessarily a bad thing if you state exactly what you need to achieve in order to have that interstate travel ban removed, so that Malaysians... we kind of know what we're heading for in terms of the goals, right? What we need to achieve. Now, there's a bit of good news also. Three more vaccines get conditional approval, and they are AstraZeneca, Sinovac, and the, I would have to say, Comirnaty COVID-19 vaccine. So far, they've been given the okay by the National Pharmaceutical Regulatory Agency. So there's a bit of good news, because that means more vaccines mean more people can be vaccinated. And I think that's really important, because the government's target, I think if I'm not wrong, was to get as many as 70,000 vaccinated a day, and we're nowhere near close that at the moment.
Yeah, yesterday's number was 17,000. I'm quite keen to know whether the government is going to structurally announce every day the vaccination rates.
So far, to Curry's credit, he has, especially if you follow him closely on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I also see this social media war in terms of who should get it and who shouldn't get it, who's in Category 1, who's in Category 2. But something that Khairi Jamaluddin, our Mosti minister, has said that he's going to come out and be very transparent about it. Because, of course, we've had, you know, some unhappiness. And I would say that unhappiness is warranted as to, you know, stories about queue jumping, people trying to get ahead of the vaccination queue. And, you know, some people say, why these people get it and why not frontliners, real medical officers or even people in private hospitals, for example.
Yep.
They are really facing potential, you know, COVID-19 illnesses. Then why aren't we protecting them?
Yeah, so this is where then you're hearing now in the Malaysian Reserve front page, corporations are now looking to private vaccines to fast-track workforce immunity. So larger businesses are actually contemplating whether they would procure their own vaccines to vaccinate their own workforce and employees.
Yeah, then
that's a very interesting dynamic.
Yeah, it goes back to this vaccine equity, right?
Mm.
And do you want to create this?
Large and small businesses.
Large and small businesses. And also the question of, do you allow people to pay for vaccines? And at what stage? Now, later? Because now what we do know is every Malaysian, or actually basically anyone who lives in Malaysia, is entitled to a free vaccine. The government has come out to say that, right?
Yep.
It's just that the program is being rolled out in stages. Now, so if suddenly you change, you say, okay, you can pay for it. Are we creating a fair, equitable distribution? Question marks.
Yes.
I don't have the answer. Is that right? Is that wrong? I think there'll be lots of ethical questions that we need to answer, because then does it mean that if you're, you know, you're well off, you're going to jump the queue? What about if someone who's not well off but probably needs it more than you? You know, so many questions that honestly I don't have answers for. But looking very quickly at the Edge CEO morning brief, and because we're the morning run, we're going to bring it back to business. There's this whole article on how glove makers have seen 27.65 billion market cap evaporate. Clearly not the winner, as there is increased vaccine optimism. Let's see whether they recover today. But that's all from the local papers this morning. Coming up next, 7 a.m. News Bulletin, followed by more business news, where we'll be finding out where global markets are heading with the ever bull Jack Kuzi of VFS Group. But first, here's Our Love's in Danger by Chaka Khan. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.